Monday, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards, me, Dr. Tim Slecker. It is a Monday homeroom. Welcome back from the weekend, everybody. I know you've been out there taking a break, grilling hamburgers, catching fish, hitting golf balls, whatever it is that you do, laying around, getting some sun. But we're glad you're back with us on a Monday. Guess what? No shortage of things going on, but, you know, always got to check in first thing Monday morning with my bros, Dr. J and Jacob. Jacob, how you doing this Monday morning, man?
Tim, I'm feeling pretty good because last week's producer's choice came out. People love it. I got to tell you, I mean, what we've heard, people love it. It's great. Good show. I really enjoyed doing that. So, and then Saturday's show, I mean, I thought people loved the Friday show. When I heard people talk about Saturday, I couldn't believe it. Johnny, how was your weekend?
It's great. I mean, it's Father's Day weekend, so, you know, it's always a good time to, you know, get together with all the other dads and, you know, celebrate our favorite thing. You know, I love being a co-host of Busted Pencils, but I think my most favorite thing is coaching hockey. No, I mean being a father. So Father's Day is a special one. I think I've grown to like Father's Day even more than my birthday. I think it's kind of like one of those things. I love being a dad. So spend time with my daughters and my family. It was a great weekend. And here we are in this beautiful start of the week. And Tim, you know, you texted me over the weekend some stuff, of course, the happy Father's Day, you know, congratulations back and forth and us enjoying our time. But you texted me some stuff again about, man, the continued attack on academic freedom. I'm gonna put it that way. Because we've talked about the beef with Harvard. Yeah. We've talked about, you know, the executive orders, you know, and the chilling effect as well as the direct impact of demanding, you know, the elimination of DEI and those kinds of curricular things in our schools and in our important programs, you know. But you texted me some stuff that I actually had been following kind of closely because I'm curious about how this is working. And it's reminded me, we'll get into it, but it's reminded me of one of these things where I say, wait, you can't do that unless you're doing it for me. So, right. So I want to come back around to that. The phrase of today's homeroom topic started off is, you know, the continued audacity of our federal government to say, hey, you can't do that, low key, unless you're doing it for me. Okay, right. That's sort of the theme. So let's get into it, Tim. What were you texting me about? Let our listeners know.
I text you it just so you know. It comes off. Anybody who, you know, particularly all of our diehard civic media people. Thursday mornings, I show up on John and Gordy's morning show on the Madison WMDX.
Great guys,
and,
man.
You know, great guys. You know, they talk about what was on Busted Pencils the week before. But John pointed out this, you know, kind of ridiculous clip from Linda McMahon where she was being questioned about, you know, the continued attacks on DEI, and she very rabidly defended, well, of course, we, you know, that's racist and we have to do that. And the reporter kind of pointed out and said, but aren't you also the ones behind forcing colleges to take and teach, you know, a diverse point of view, an unrepresented point of view, at least according to you? In other words, the conservative point of view is being mandated by this government. And it feels to me like inclusion and the requirement of diversity is, as you pointed out, Johnny, when it helps us, we're for it. When it doesn't, we're against it. And so I come across, you know, my old home state. Guess what? The proposed Ohio budget would increase influence of university intellectual diversity centers, okay? Mm-hmm. Because, and here it is, you know, the major state-funded institutions in Ohio. Just let me make sure we name them. Ohio State University, Cleveland State University, University of Cincinnati, University of Toledo, and Miami University are going to have these diversity of intellectual diversity centers. And Johnny, I gotta love what they're calling them. They're calling them civic centers, because these are, you know, creating better citizens by requiring that the state institutions mandate diversity of intellectual thought. In other words, mandating that conservatism be included in the curriculum of these higher ed institutions, because Johnny, for way too long, the conservative point of view and those people have been oppressed for generations. And without the act of the government elevating and requiring this inclusion, how would we ever set things straight without first saying, you have to do this? And so, Johnny, so when I was talking to John and Gordy, it just comes out and you go, it's like, what is going on here? You know, because I'm going to come back now and take a little bit of the set and go, I don't have any problem actually with saying potentially that conservative viewpoints, in fact, John, as me as a practitioner and a believer in diversity, and in fact, a lot of times in my social studies education, I always brought, quote, multiple viewpoints, diverse viewpoints, conservative, anarchist, liberal, dare I say Marxist, all of those points of view to point out for students that we have to have these inclusive viewpoints, because that's who your kids are. That's who their parents are. These are their communities. In fact, one of the biggest sessions I used to have was a teaching controversial issues, you know, week where we talked about that and, you know, really pointed out, this would really get for a lot of college students, abstinence education versus fully inclusive sex education, and realizing, what does it mean to advocate for abstinence only? And I forced them to dig into and try to understand the position of what it meant to be an abstinence-only advocate. So I don't really have a problem with including. I have a problem with the reality of here of saying you can include those diverse viewpoints, but darn it, you're going to include our diverse viewpoints. That's where I'm kind of mystified.
Well, Tim, it's par for the course. Again, I'll come back to that phrase. You can't do that unless you're doing it for me, right? So, but what I'm going to say, when you say what's going on there, I'm going to say I smell BO, and I actually do, because it's hot out and I'm, hustling outside doing some yard work before the show today. But
you should do the show from your shower like me.
Hey, man, you know what? That would reduce the actual BO. But the BO I'm referring to is bureaucratic overreach. Okay, that's what I smell here. It's bureaucratic overreach. And it really, to me, this idea of these centers. So we're talking about legislative, not only funded, but run by people who are outside of the university. So this kind of usurps that whole democratic academic freedom piece that is a mainstay of universities, of higher education in democratic countries. As a signifier of a strong democracy, you have strong academic freedom, which, Tim, for some reason, these, I'll call them out, these conservatives have somehow spun this idea that there isn't very solid evidence on, just because, in particularly, I think you shared some statistics with me this weekend. I believe it's like 77% or so of the people employed in the role of professor or educator in higher education in this country identify as, moderate to left, somewhere on the left-leaning side. That doesn't mean that they only teach their political views, one, first of all, but two, that there's some kind of indoctrination thing happening, right? And you handled it well. When we do teaching, and that's across, around the world, good teachers teach about concepts, and they teach about the best available information about different economic systems, about different understandings and competing theories. But one thing, Tim, that by and large, whether they're conservative professors or liberal identifying professors, one thing they don't often do is teach misinformation. And one of the things they often don't do is give equal time to what we call the false equivalency. Remember Dr. Ethan Siegel, come on, like our resident astrophysicist. And the example that he often gives is, hey, of course, of overwhelming amount of the world, scientific community, diverse scientists from around the world, many of them conservative, some of them liberal, all kinds of different identities, but their professional expertise lends us to say, hey, climate change is real and it's happening. Or, hey, we have misunderstood gender into two primary identities, male and female, and it's actually much more complex than that. The scientific community, everything is political, but to depoliticize it for a minute, the scientific community says, as objective as we can be with intellectual diversity, I'm going to dare I use that term, give you scientific consensus evidence that these are how these systems work. This is all the information we have on. They're not like, so what we're going to do as educators is teach those leading perspectives. We're also not going to ignore that, hey, there are some people who don't believe this. You got to learn about them too. But we're not going to give equal time to the false equivalency. I'm not going to say, here's a course on biogenetics, and here's what you're going to learn because this is scientific consensus. You need to be a leader in your field when you leave our institution. So you got to learn, you know, biogenetics. I'm not going to say, hey, you also need a course on this 0.00076 percentile view that biogenetics has it all wrong. In fact, God made us one way and the other way, and there's just two genders, and that's it. So you're going to have a whole course on it, a whole 15 weeks, just like you had on biogenetics. So we got to be careful, because I think bureaucratic overreach is hyperbolic, and it's reacting to the fact that they're saying, hey, people with a college education seem to be not voting for us. Well, maybe they're learning that if you're telling them, because of who they are, they can't have a say over their body, or they shouldn't be voting, right? Or they don't exist, or they don't matter, or you're emphasizing the inhumane practices of deporting people and rounding them up from our country in the way they are. And they're learning about that this isn't how it has to be, and in fact, it isn't necessarily an indicator of a strong democracy. They might not vote for you again, right? So this is an effort to kind of mislead the general public, use headlines and funding to kind of skew things, and to really threaten academic freedom, which is our right as professors to teach the best available information. It's not to teach them what we believe or think, right? It's the ambassadors of that best available information. So to get in there and start saying, we just sent an executive order that tells you, you can't decide locally who and how you hire people, because that's not okay. You have these diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, which were exactly that, to promote diversity in our campuses in a variety of ways. But they say, you can't do that. But what we need you to do is we need you to not be in charge. We're going to put some people in charge, because they're going to say, we just need to hire more white conservative men. And so this is all this is about to me. I'm following it closely because I'm like, hey, when are we going to point this out as BO? I sniff and smell the BO. Ohio needs some deodorant on this one, right? These institutes for our centers for civics, misleading, but I'm with you, man.
It's a mess. That false equivalency, you know, back to the ideas of what we teach. It's like, you know, well, if you're going to teach the Holocaust, you got to teach the deniers' point of view too, you know, because
you mentioned
that, though, but you teach Yeah, you teach about that fringe movement, and you teach the facts of the deniers in the reality or the non-reality that they live in and the denial, but you don't, you know, as you say, put it up as, hey, there's a theory of a thing called the Holocaust. Now, you got a group of people, you know, we've got documented evidence, films, all these things. Now, that's the evidence. Now, we're going to present you the contrary. No, this isn't a discussion. And so ideology. But, you know, one of the quotes just from Ohio, from one of the senators there, Jerry Serino. Oh, my God. He says, ideology is replacing the lessons of history on campus. The less students learn about and embrace America's founding principles and ideals, well, the more free speech is disappearing. Again, this idea of going, you know, ideology, as if mandating down the throats American exceptionalism isn't itself an ideology.
Exactly, Tim. It's what I call some of these folks, like especially politicians, they like to do what they like to serve up what I call word salad. You know, they just kind of like like how we have a Cobb salad, we have the Caesar salad, we have, and sometimes you just go to the salad bar and throw a bunch of salad stuff on your plate. Yeah. Well, some of these folks that fancy themselves scholarly, even scholars themselves, they like to serve up word salad, you know, and this that universities have gone too ideological. It's like, hold on, give us a street level definition of ideology. Well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do that right here on Busted Pencils. Ideology is a system of shared beliefs that benefit some, often at the expense of others. In other words, we could say, break it down into everyday language, like when I was in graduate school and bringing home these big, these word salad terms, and I'd say, you know, Grandma, sitting on the porch, Grandma, we learned about ideology today, and she said, you're going to have to break that down, Johnny, because ain't nobody using that word, you know, in everyday life. And I said, well, you know, it's a system of shared beliefs that benefit some disproportionate to others. She said, okay, yeah, break it down even more. It's anytime we're experiencing something and people say, well, that's just the way it is, right? Yeah. That's a reminder of ideology, who is often in close partnership with another item on the salad buffet, hegemony. And that's domination without force. So when you have a system of shared beliefs that becomes so shared and they benefit some disproportionately to others, but they're common enough, right? Mm. That's an ideology, a system of shared beliefs. Like when my sister would say to my parents, how come he gets to stay out as late as he wants and I have to be home by 9 p.m.? And my dad would say, that's just the way it is, right? Well, those were ideologies of a patriarchal society. It was safer for me to be out. Parents, you know, are less worried about their boys than they are their girls and different things. That's ideology at work. You know, my sister kind of says, well, that's bull crap, right? But she's experiencing hegemony, domination without force. That system of shared beliefs happens so frequently. So when they say that universities have become too ideological, I have to say that they think there's a shared system of belief throughout universities, right, that is benefiting some disproportionately to others. Well, that's always true. There's always going to be systems of shared beliefs exchanged, learned, taught, argued about, explored, researched and on campuses around the world. That's the whole point of educational institutions. But when you cry about it, and that's what's happening here, when you cry about it, it's generally because that system of shared belief that's being examined it's for a long time benefited you directly, and it might not continue to benefit you the way you like it if it's interrogated, right? Oh. So again, there is a political dimension to everything. The political dimension to these efforts is to cry about particular ideologies being examined, being questioned, being thought about, discussed, to take something powerful like academic freedom and threaten it by using some word salad and saying, universities have got too ideological. And then people are, yeah, that ideology thing is bad. Well, you thinking ideology bad is ideology. So it's kind of pulling us into the language game in a way that uses words to kind of skew things with tone and general opinion. So you know what I say, Tim? It's a threat to academic freedom. It's a bunch of tantruming, but it's real. Mm. And there's some BO coming out of Ohio, bureaucratic overreach.
For sure. Although, Johnny, I do have to say that what your father was telling your sister was that they value her way more than you.
Well, of course.
Sorry.
That's part of that ideology, man.
Yeah. And now it's time for your moment of zen. Objectivity is not desirable because if we want to have an effect on the world, we need to emphasize those things which will make students more active citizens and more moral people.
Thank you for listening to Homeroom today. If you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, well, just head on over to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get at us at civicmedia.com or at our website, bustedpencils.com. You can always find great Busted Pencils content like today's show every Monday for Homeroom, Wednesdays for Class in Session, and on Fridays for that producer Jacob's Choice show y'all love so much. And of course, Pencil Busters, you know you can always tune in and you can always listen closely to the Busted Pencils Weekend Broadcast every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.